Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
So an algorithm might not be able to spit out a chart-topping song, at least not yet, but it might be able to help you write a bestseller. Jodi Archer used to work as an acquisitions editor for Penguin Books. She saw a lot of novelists struggling to write books that would sell. Then she went to grad school at Stanford, where she and her advisor created an algorithm to help. They fed it 3 decades' worth of data, about 20,000 novels, and now the bestsellerometer can predict with 80% accuracy whether or not a new novel will be successful. Raymond Tungekar wanted to know more.
So how does this algorithm work? I mean, what kinds of things does the bestsellerometer look at?
We actually measure 28,000 points of data, and we use about 2,800 as relevant to whether a text will bestsell or not. So there's a lot of things there, obviously, but they come into 5 broadish categories: plot, style, theme or topic, setting, and character. So we're looking at those things, but in many different ways.
You know, let's talk about some of your findings. Let's start with theme. Are there certain themes or subjects that bestsellers tend to focus on?
Yeah, we found that genre was kind of a red herring. The topics that show up time and time again that bestsell are human closeness. And this is a topic that some reviewers of the book have said, well, isn't it obvious all literature is about human closeness? And actually, it's not really. This is a topic that's about, those scenes that are downtime between two major characters where they're kind of having a beer together or giving each other a hug or just saying, you know, what's up, buddy? And that's written into the text. Now, best-selling writers instinctively know that that has an effect on pace, character, how plot can go, and more amateur writers tend to miss out those key important themes. And so human closeness came out as number one if you want to be a best-selling writer, and we liked that. I mean, it says something about the nature of fiction and why we read, but it also showed us how often those writers that are not selling well are failing to include that soft human touch in their writing.
Let's move on to something that countless authors have wrestled with. What insights does your model offer when it comes to the plot or plot structure?
We found 7 different plot lines, and we really found that all of the books fit into one of those plot lines. There isn't one above any other that we'd necessarily recommend you pick, but getting the curves right of that plot are important. You know, if you're going to write a man-in-hole book, as it's sometimes called, make sure that there's a deep hole and make sure he comes out on the other side. Or if you're going to write the romance story, make sure there is the high and the low. And the authors that we've helped improve their manuscripts, they found that they were tending to miss some of those curves. And as they improved, they were getting much more attention from agents and editors.
Did the model also look at pacing or at what point authors should start considering a plot twist of some sort?
Yes, the answer is quite quickly. Some, you know, authors famously say, you know, you've got 40 pages to hook a reader. Some people think it's generous, and you've got 10. I've spoken to some acquisitions editors and saying even that's generous. You've got about 3 pages. And a hook is really an emotional change in direction. If you go back and think about some of the novels that you've read, that moment you feel a hook happening is often an emotional twist. And that has to happen fairly quickly and fairly dramatically for a reader to start caring about characters, for them to get involved, for them to want to follow the plot and the character through the story. We like to see a downward or an upward movement from the status quo definitely within the first 10% of a book.
And as you mentioned earlier, the bestsellerometer also looked at style. What insights did the model offer?
We were finding at first that there seemed to be this separation between male and female authors, and we wondered if we were looking at some kind of male and female style. A lot of bestsellers seem to be coming in at what the computer detected as a more female style, and prize winners coming out more male. And then we went back to the drawing board and thought, is this really right? And our hypothesis has come to be that those books that have a traditional training, traditional literary background, writers that have gone through English degrees. There seems to be a prevalence with them winning prizes more than other writers, but writers that hit the lists, we actually, especially with a first-time book, a debut, were hitting the lists and had a background or training in journalism. So they were coming out of sometimes radio, sometimes print journalism, sometimes, you know, broadcast, advertising even. But they were coming from worlds where they'd learnt the everyday language of common man, this sort of speaking everyday language that everyone can understand without a lot of poetry or the poetic style that might go into more literary writing. So that journalism background really showed itself and makes sense, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on everything we've been talking about so far, you know, all the elements of best-selling novels, is there a book that kind of stands out as coming closest, perhaps, to being a perfect bestseller?
The only one book that the bestsellerometer gave 100% to was Dave Eggers' book called The Circle. Huh. And it was a nice surprise to us, and I think it was a great book.
Yeah, well, it seems like an ironic choice, given that isn't it about like an evil tech company?
It is, yeah. I mean, we definitely laughed in the office. We said, you know, the algorithm has chosen itself. It's about a young woman called May who lives in a sort of a Silicon Valley kind of world, and works for a futuristic company that's maybe a baby of Google's and Facebook's and those kind of things, big into social media. And her job is to raise the scores of her feedback from customers. And of course, we laughed when the computer turns around and gave Dave Eggers 100% for his performance, because the book is very dystopian in nature and a little bit fearful of advances in technology. So yes, we make something of the irony there, that's for sure.
Well, you said that you know, the bestsellerometer had an 80% rate of accuracy. I'm interested in like that 20%. I mean, were there some notable misses? Were there, for instance, examples of bestsellers that the model didn't think would be successful?
Yes, I think one of the biggest ones was George R. R. Martin with The Game of Thrones.
Oh, interesting.
There were some things that the model really liked about the books, but what is the case, I think, with his writing, I mean, definitely he's been helped by the great show that's about the books, but he writes in a way that doesn't conform to the patterns that we found, to the standards of the list. That does not mean he's not a good writer. He's a great writer, many people's favorite writer, but it's not many writers that get away with introducing you to characters, making you fall in love with them, and then killing them. Another great one was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which just was made into a movie, I think, as well. You know, a mashup of two big beloved themes, Austin and zombies, is always going to amuse people and attract attention. But again, I think that might explain the success, rather than that book hitting a kind of understanding of the workings of plot and fiction that some of the other best-selling writers out there have achieved.
Jodi Archer is the co-author of The Bestseller Code, Anatomy of the Blockbuster Novel. Raymond Tungekar talked with her.